Well, the Oklahoma City bombing, so bringing the chickens home to roost, well, unfortunately, there's a little more truth to that than the press is willing to make out. Turned out in this case, you remember at the beginning they were looking for some Middle East connection, and they would have bombed anybody in sight if they'd found it. You could tell that right off. Didn't work, so you're stuck with the angry white men. And there, the source of that is quite real. They have every reason to be angry. There's a lot to be angry about in the, I'm assuming that the current stories are correct, that the sectors from which this is coming, there's plenty to be mad at. But I don't think people know what to be angry about. What has been created by this half century of massive corporate propaganda is what's called anti-politics. So anything that goes wrong, you blame the government. Well, okay, there's plenty to blame the government about. But the government is the one institution in which that people can change. It's the one institution you can affect by participation without institutional change, right? That's exactly why all the anger and fear is directed against the government. The government has a defect. It's potentially democratic. Corporations have no defect. They're pure tyrannies. So therefore, you want to keep corporations invisible and focus all anger on the government. So you don't like something, you know, your wages are going down, blame the government, you know. Not blame the guys in the Fortune 500, because you don't read the Fortune 500, you know, thing. You just read what they tell you in the newspapers. So you don't read about the dazzling profits and the stupendous this and the wages going down and so on. All you know is that the bad government's doing something, so let's get mad at the government. As I say, plenty to be mad about the government, but the government is exactly what Dewey described it as. It's the shadow cast by business over society. You want to change something, change the substance, not the shadow. And everyone contributes to this, including the Democrats. They're deeply committed to it. You take a look at the Clinton campaign literature. It's like, you know, it's a public, I don't know what public relations firm wrote it, but whatever one did it understands their business. The thing that they were giving out at the drugstores, you know, 10 cents for on their mandate for change, as they called it, incidentally a slogan that they borrowed from Eisenhower, which shows how much change they contemplated. The first chapter of it was called Entrepreneurial Economics, and that was their big economic program. I explained how we're not old-fashioned liberals, you know, who believe in entitlements and getting children food to eat and that sort of thing. We're interested in entrepreneurial economics. And then they go on to describe it. And it's very, read it carefully, very interesting to see how the mind of the commissar works, you know, the really skilled propagandist, guys who get trained in the good universities. The way it works is like this. Entrepreneurial economics involves workers and their firms. It's all about workers and their firms. You know, anybody who works in a firm can tell you how much it's their firms. So there's workers and their firms, and then there's the government, which is going to try to help out the workers and their firms. There's a couple of words that don't appear in it, like profits, you know, bosses, managers. They're not investors, banks. They don't appear. It's just the workers and their firms. There are entrepreneurs. Who have a kind of a shadowy existence. They're sort of nice guys who live in the Sloan School or somewhere, and every once in a while they come around and they sort of help out the workers in their firms, and then they kind of disappear somewhere. And that's entrepreneurial economics. Well, okay, you know, that's the kind of thing you're taught to do in good universities, to put things that way. And that's the Democrats. Now, when you got that on one side, and on the other side, you got, you know, hate the government because they're responsible for everything and its taxes and the pointy-headed bureaucrats in Washington, but not the ones in the insurance offices, you end up with a mood of what is called anti-politics. And anti-politics is a very scary phenomenon. It can take the form of that it is taking, you know, forming what shouldn't be called militias, because remember, militias are things raised by states. These are just private armies. Forming private armies to defend the country, the people against you know, the UN forces being brought in the black helicopters by the Council on Foreign Relations to commit genocide or whatever story you like. Or else it's you know, fight against Lucifer and Beast 66 who's doing this, that, and the other thing. And that's what, if you take a look across the country, that's what people are worried about and fighting against. aliens, you know, the devil, the UN forces, the Federal Reserve, I mean, everything except what's real, namely private tyranny, private corporate power, the guys who were listed in the Fortune 500. Well, that's an achievement. That's a propaganda achievement. And while the anger and the fear is real, and it's based on something, and you gotta sympathize with it because it is real, when your wages have dropped 25% roughly in, say, 15 years, and you know your wife has to work and your kids can't eat and so on and so forth, and you have no future and everything's rotten, you have a lot to be angry about. But people are not focused on what's doing it. That's the difference between the days in which there was a live, functioning labor movement that was organizing these people, exactly these people, to work together to change things.